happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm J.W. Walker.
Hello, J.W. Walker. Hello. Thank you for being here.
Hello, Andy Hum. It's great to be here with you.
We are going to talk about so much, the Supreme Court decisions this week, terrible governors, terrible, more terrible stuff from the Trump administration. But first, let's reintroduce people to J.W. Walker. You see him on the show often at demonstrations. Jay, you are the president of Gays Against Guns. And you are also known for your work in Rise and Resist, and you do a podcast. What's that?
Oh, my friends Dan Ramirez and Alyssa Stein and I do a podcast called Girl Stop, G-U-R-L, S-T-O-P. It's available wherever you get podcasts.
Okay. And we will link to that in our email. But since you're here and you're a great activist, how are you feeling about what's going on today in general?
I'm a little frightened. I just don't understand how this country has gone so far into the muck and the mire. You know, we've got to keep fighting. We've got to, you know, keep pushing back. We have little victories here and there. And I think they'll mount. I think that the election is going to be good for us in, in November. But we've got a lot of work to do.
We sure do. And you're out there all the time. Where do you get your energy?
A lot of coffee. A fair amount of sugar, and community.
Well, it is. Community is what does it. And did we put the picture up of Jay at the Stonewall? When they took the flag down at Stonewall, the rainbow flag, the Park Service took it down under orders from the Trump administration. We had these demonstrations, and they tried to put it back up, and they weren't doing such a great job, so you jumped in with a couple of other people there and made it happen. This is months ago.
This was, the restoration, I guess it was February? Was it February? The elected officials, all of the, you know, the elected officials, folks from the Gilbert Baker Foundation, et cetera, they put an exact duplicate of the 8-stripe rainbow flag that had been taken down onto an aluminum pole that they then brought into the area of the Stonewall National Monument Park, and then they zip tied that aluminum pole to the existing flagpole, and it kind of looked ridiculous, and the people that were in the park, it was a huge crowd of people, and everyone was just, no, it needs to go on the actual pole, the pole that we put up there, that activists put up there to do it. And so at a certain point, my friend Josh Jaden and a couple of other activists and I sort of stormed in, took it off of that aluminum pole, and hoisted it up onto the actual flagpole.
I kept yelling at these demonstrations when people were protesting, put the flag on, and they weren't doing it.
Yeah.
I think I may have even yelled at you.
I think you did.
And you said, are you a reporter or an activist? And like Jay, I'm both.
Exactly.
All right. So here we are. Terrible news as we were taping on Wednesday. Supreme Court has further gutted the voting rights decision in the Louisiana case. I mean, look what they did. They said, when you draw a black district so that you'll have representation, that is racial discrimination. That is a violation of the Voting Rights Act. It's 1984.
Yeah, well, it's this further slide into white supremacy. The Supreme Court, since the first time they gutted the Voting Rights Act several years ago, they're making it very clear. And a lot of things have done this, including the election of Donald Trump, including Project 2025, that the modern, quote-unquote, conservative movement is purely and simply a white supremacist movement, as well as a patriarchal movement, an anti-gay, anti-LGBTQ. But at its core, it's white supremacist. And every decision that this Supreme Court makes regarding anything connected to racial issues, it's always coming down on the side of white supremacy.
They've even got a black guy on their side, Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas is no longer, he's not black. We don't claim him. Clarence Thomas is not invited to the cookout.
Well, and then the And, of course, they're going to be redrawing more lines, trying to save themselves in the midterms. That's happening in Florida, maybe Missouri, maybe South Carolina, maybe some of these other states. I still think that's going to backfire on them.
Well, I think that, you know, because there's so little time between now and November, anything that they do is going to be challenged and has a possibility of at least being frozen, you know, so that it can't go through fully until after November.
Well, the court is always terrified about losing any of their number and their supermajority, and they want a replacement named by Trump.
Right, right.
Who will be confirmed by the Senate if Alito or Thomas decide to retire. I don't think Thomas will ever retire.
I think he'll die there. I think that, you know, that's all. Ginny will never let him retire.
And then the court also, it was an abortion decision.
Which is really sad. Basically, the decision was that the these Catholic birthing centers, or they're faith-based birthing centers that give unscientific information to women, that refuse to talk about the options of abortion, that ignore health concerns that might require women to have abortions in order to save their lives. The Supreme Court ruled that they can defend themselves in federal court against state investigations of them. Because I think the state, this is out of New Jersey, and the state of New Jersey is investigating these birthing centers because they are endangering women's lives or birthing people's lives.
Giving out false information, et cetera.
And so these birthing centers are trying to challenge that in the federal courts. And what the Supreme Court ruled is that even though this is a state matter, this is a state law issue, but these birthing centers can challenge that in federal court.
Okay. Well, let's move on to some of the outrages from the Trump administration. The wicked FCC chair, Brendan Carr, we have a picture of him. You saw him in the news because he's going after all the ABC affiliates, ostensibly because he says they're doing DEI and you can't do DEI anymore. But it's really over Jimmy Kimmel and Melania saying, right. I don't like that he insulted me and my hubby. But then he also announced that he wants to put warning labels on television anytime there's trans content on a television show.
Yeah, which is just absurd. And I don't know how they're going to do it. And however he writes this out, it's going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged on all sorts of civil rights laws and control over your content. And there's nothing inherently vulgar or, offensive in simply discussing the existence of trans people. Trans people exist. And so it's clearly just, though, a signal to the far right wing. It's a, you know, furthering this demonization of trans people and gender nonconforming people in order to deflect from the outrageous sexual abuse being committed by right-wing conservatives, by the Epstein class, by people like that are listed in the Epstein files.
Well, won't it require warning labels on Fox News? Because no one talks about trans people more than Fox News.
Very good point.
Something really big in the world could have happened, but the lead story will always be some what they would consider a trans outrage will lead the news over there.
Yeah, and I wonder if Brendan Carr is only going to apply this to scripted entertainment, if he's going to try to narrowly do that so that the news doesn't have to be labeled or not.
But it's all about the dehumanization of trans people,
exactly.
And you have to feel for every trans person in the world who is having to deal with this these days. And then there's the State Department. Now, of course, Trump did his executive order. There are no trans people. There's just male men and women, or males and females, or whatever he wants to say. But they were being sued over their anti-trans policy. So now restrooms around the world in State Department facilities, mm-hmm. you can only go in based on your, quote-unquote, what they call biological sex, which is a misnomer anyway.
Correct.
But that's what they've done. Marco Rubio doing that.
The one thing they didn't do is they did not preclude the existence of single-use restrooms, which may be the way that's
they didn't preclude them.
Yeah, you can still have a single person restroom that which anybody can.
We finally have those in New York, like in restaurants where they have single use restrooms that used to be marked men and women separately. It's ridiculous. Just now, it's just number one and number two.
Well, and the other issue
to do number one and number two.
The other issue is that about an equal number, if not slightly more, intersex people exist in this world, you know, more so than trans people. And how do you determine what the biological sex of an intersex person
is? It is nuts. And now you're going to have bearded trans men that are forcing to go into women's rooms. It's nuts.
Well, and the other big thing, of course, is that this
putting them in danger.
Well, is going to put cis women in danger. We've already seen multiple cases of cis women being attacked by men storming into.
We had a big case 10, 12 years ago, a butch lesbian in Greenwich Village in a Mexican restaurant. Woman comes in and says, "There's a man in there." I mean, she wasn't even that butch. And they threw her out of the restaurant, wouldn't let her finish her meal. We protested vigorously. We finally got some sort of a settlement there.
Yeah. And it's just going to get worse.
Just outrageous. Then there's Florida. So Ron DeSantis signed a bill. Basically, local governments cannot fund pride events.
Well, it's a broader thing. It's a DEI. It's basically that local governments can do anything regarding DEI, can include DEI policies of any sort in their functionality. And so what's happening is the Equality Florida and other LGBTQ rights groups in Florida are saying, well, this means that, you know, if the government gives a permit to a pride parade or a pride event, that would be recognizing gay people as a marginalized group.
Well, you can't stop people from getting a permit for a First Amendment activity,
right? Well, yeah, but what they're saying is that they're worried that local governments won't be able to promote the pride event.
Well, they won't be able to fund it in any way,
or promote it.
But it's outrageous.
Yeah, no.
They're not letting. They don't really believe in local control. They don't really believe in liberty. They don't really believe in justice.
Well, it's because no matter how Republican a state house goes, the big cities in pretty much every state, regardless of how red, are always going to be blue.
Ron DeSantis, of course, is angling for a position in the Trump administration, but he only wants Secretary of Defense, maybe. Of course, they call it war now. Mm-hmm. Or he wants to be put on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
Ron DeSantis as a Supreme Court justice?
But better news from Orlando, where we told you about how when they got rid of the Pulse Memorial street crossings that were rainbows, people stepped in and put chalk on the streets in rainbow colors. Mm-hmm. Six of them were arrested. Those charges have been dropped by the state attorney, Monique Worrell, who called it selective prosecution.
Mm. That's a good thing.
And incidentally, where is this story? Oh, speaking of Ron DeSantis, now I'm not trying to defend Israel these days, but the state of Israel, they call it pinkwashing, but they promoted a big pride event in Israel, calling it the biggest LGBTQ festival ever in the Middle East. So Ron DeSantis's pastor, Tom Askol, freaked out over this. He said, wickedness like this is why Christians take issue with any thought of standing shoulder with and celebrating the modern state of Israel.
Yeah.
This is his pastor.
Yeah.
This could get Ron in trouble. This is a guy who also defended the Kill the Gays bill in Uganda.
In Uganda.
All right. Better news from Jared Polis, the Colorado governor. He signed a bill to protect trans kids from by letting them seal their name changes for those who are under 18 when they file for them. Anybody who files for a name change under 18. Well, that's him watching out for trans kids.
That is a positive. However, the original wording of the legislation was also included a proviso that in custody decisions, judges would be able to use whether or not a parent supported a child's transition or respected a child's transition and transitional identity. And because of Republican objections to that, they stripped that part out of this legislation that Polis just signed in. So
not as good as it could have been.
Not as good as it could have been.
All right. And then what's going on with the SAVE Act, which is Trump's number one priority. He thinks it's going to help him in the midterms. It would. This is a voting thing, which would make you basically bring a passport, your birth certificate, and all this kind of stuff to keep your vote. What's going on with that? The latest efforts by the Republicans have been stopped, including by some Republicans, but they're not letting go of this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems to be falling apart from a number of angles because obviously Republican women are more likely probably than Democratic women, or certainly conservative women are more likely than liberal and progressive women to change their name to their husband's surname when they get married. Right. And so this directly affects any woman who has changed her surname because it no longer matches what is on her birth certificate. And so it wasn't a well thought out bill. It was, you know, they were thinking of the people that they wanted to target rather than thinking what the other effects of the bill would be. And so I think it's sort of they're going to use it rhetorically, but I think they know that it's not going to succeed.
Lindsey Graham ain't giving up on it.
No.
We had a special election here where we live in New York City Council District that includes Chelsea, the Village,
where we both live.
Yes, and Hell's Kitchen, and so a special election to replace Eric Boettcher in the City Council. This seat has been held by a gay person since 1991.
Since Christine Quinn.
Tom Dwayne, right.
Right.
Yeah. But they did have the vote. Carl Wilson, got a picture of him there. Now that's Eric Boettcher in the background. And, of course, the Speaker of the Council, who was supporting him, Julie Menin. Carl got 43% of the vote. He has to get 50% in ranked choice. That will be decided on Tuesday. But he's already claimed victory, and his nearest opponent,
Lindsay Boylan, conceded. She called him last night. I happened to be at Lindsay's campaign party last night. And the thing to note about it is that Carl now is going to have to prove himself with his votes because this is a special election. And the November election happens this
– Well, the June – there's a June primary.
Right.
That's the main thing.
That's what I'm saying, is that there's going to be a November election for the entirety of City Council. So Carl is going to be primaried in June for his – you know, for this seat. And it remains to be seen whether any of his three competitors in this special election, Lindsay Boylan, Layla Logue Gisico, or Leslie Boghossian Murphy – will primary him in June.
I'm not sure the entire City Council is up this year. Yeah. I think it's not just for Eric's seat because he was
maybe it is just for Eric. Okay. Yeah, maybe it is just for Eric's seat.
But
yeah.
He does have to prove himself, and we're very concerned about this bill that Mayor Mamdani, we're grateful to him for vetoing, which is about restricting protest. We're protesters.
We're protesters, exactly.
And, we're not trying to go after any particular group or anything like that or hurt anybody. We're trying to secure justice. But these bills are very bad.
They're very bad because essentially what they're doing is they are they're giving the NYPD additional powers over protesters. And whenever you give the NYPD additional powers, what that leads to is additional violence from the NYPD.
Right.
We've just seen recently, having nothing to do with protests, we just saw recently these two NYPD officers just brutally attacking a gentleman in a liquor store who was guilty of nothing. And the truth is, even if he had been guilty of whatever drug deal they suspected him of, that kind of violence was
completely
unnecessary.
He was totally innocent. He's suing the department for $100 million.
Julie Menin's bills, they are specifically empowering not just the NYPD, but it's sort of saying – and the governor has state bills that she's trying to push, and it's all about sort of these powerful interests, the healthcare industry, educational institutions, and houses of worship, all of which throughout history have been guilty of further marginalizing, of discriminating against marginalized groups, and now they're saying that we have to be hands off, except for unions,
right? All right. And Mayor Mamdani is making protests a little bit more protected himself.
Yes, very
much so. He also appointed a black lesbian, a librarian named Shanta Smith Cruz as the commissioner of the New York City Department of Records and Information Services. There she is. She's going to oversee all our municipal records, and she's DEI. We have a rich New York history when it comes to Stonewall in particular, she said. She's out, and an out LGBTQ person, and she's emphasizing the preservation not just of well-known figures, but of the people who really make history in New York.
And the people who often get erased from history of New York, and that's really important.
Speaking of protests, they marked the 60th anniversary of the sit-in at Julius's. Now, 60 years ago, five gay activists had to go to Julius's to try to get served as homosexuals.
Correct.
And they were refused, and they reenacted it there. And you see Randy Wicker there, in the middle on the right. He's the only original who's still alive.
He's still alive.
And was there. And that was quite a show. All right. And it was celebrated across the country, our ability to drink.
Yes, our ability to drink
bars.
Openly.
Because they could refuse us in those days. Some people we lost. Michael Tilson Thomas, the very famous out gay American conductor, composer, pianist, 25 years at the San Francisco Symphony, out gay, 81 years old. We are going to link to his full obituary in our email.
It's impressive.
Great life. And then in the District of Columbia, Savannah Wanzer, a legend there. She died at 63. She was the lead founder of DC Trans Pride and DC Black Trans Pride, and she served on the National Minority AIDS Council, and it was quite celebrated, including by the mayor of Washington, Muriel Bowser, and we will link to her full obituary.
Rest in power.
We better move on. International news, Botswana.
Botswana, which has been doing, you know, seems to have been doing right for the last quite a few years.
What did they do now?
LGBT issues, but most recently, their anti-sodomy law, which was overturned in court back in 2019 by their Supreme Court, and then was challenged, and then the challenge was unsuccessful in 2021. Well, now they finally removed the language from their statute. So it is the language now. The statute that formerly included sodomy now only includes prohibitions against bestiality.
But they have – it's more progressive around these issues.
Yes.
And trans people have been able to correct gender markers, and there's a gay couple suing for marriage rights. So yes. A lot of bad news out of parts of Africa, but unlike South Africa, which has us in the Constitution. So then there's Pope Leo.
Pope Leo.
So this week he was asked on this plane there about the topic of blessing same-sex unions, and he said they can cause more – disunity than unity. I want to emphasize issues of justice, equality, and freedom rather than sexual matters. He's reducing our love to sexual matters,
yeah.
Which I object to, of course. And what about justice and equality for gay people?
For gay people.
We're exactly. Just not going to talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah, he's basically holding the line where Pope Francis said it, which was saying you could have informal blessings but not formal liturgical blessing.
But that's basically saying you can bless anything, and pardon me, including animals,
yeah.
Which they've always done.
Which they've always done.
Or you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, he just doesn't want to talk about it.
No.
And he's responding to the German church,
which wants to do it.
Further.
Yeah.
Well, they want to actually bless couples who want to confess their love and all that kind of stuff. And so, anyway. And then the Church of Wales, which is part of the Anglican Communion, they voted overwhelmingly to bless same-sex unions, not marriages, although
right.
That's going to be brought up in the future there.
Right, right. Because the Episcopal Church here in the United States does do same-sex unions, which is basically the equivalent of the Anglican Church.
And then I was sorry to see a couple of French towns model themselves on Ron DeSantis, and they're now banning pride displays in their towns.
Mm.
There's obviously a strong right wing in France.
In France.
We hope they don't take over the whole country.
Exactly. Well, they keep trying to, and they keep failing. So
they do.
So let's hope that that holds.
Okay. AIDS news. PEPFAR. Terrible story. Not that we didn't know this was happening about Zambia.
Yeah.
Because we haven't just cut off their funds, which are now leading to people dying of AIDS as they weren't dying before when we funded it. But they're saying to the Zambian government, "Give us your mineral rights.
They're extorting them,
and we'll give you some money to save these people."
Yeah, and now we've already seen from the PEPFAR cuts and other U.S. aid cuts about their estimate is about 500,000 people have died as a direct result of United States aid cuts just in the last year.
How do they live with themselves? But if they follow, and then you mentioned something about Ibogaine.
Oh, the Ibogaine. There's been apparently Donald Trump is going to be moving to allow Ibogaine to be descheduled. It is a psychotropic medication that is often used to help people beat their addiction to opiates.
Oh, and the news this week, of course, is that they're loosening regulations on medical marijuana.
On medical marijuana, but not recreational. So, baby steps.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Governor Hochul is being pressed in New York, is being pressed to expand HIV housing subsidies. We have it in New York City where we pay for 70% of it.
Mm-hmm.
Advocates are now saying, do it across the state, let the state pay for it. She's not moving on these things.
Yeah. I mean, it's the localities want the governor, don't want to be able to bear that 70% of the cost.
Another effect of the Iran war. Price of condoms because they can't get the goods that they make
latex
them out of.
Is a petroleum product.
They're expected to go up 30%. Wow. In the United Kingdom, Nigel Farage, the far right leader there, says he doesn't want to. He wants to ban asylum seekers from free HIV treatments at the NHS.
Yeah.
They welcome everybody at the NHS, no matter where you're from.
Well, and in the public, the public health reason is that. People that are from elsewhere are going to have sex with people who are from there. And so that if you don't give the access there, then you're going to increase the spread to the broader population.
Australia is lifting blood donation restrictions for LGBT donors, finally.
Well done, down under.
We're getting down to our last minute, some entertainment news. Peabody Awards, very prestigious. They're awarded for people who defend the public interest, encourage empathy, and expand our understanding of the world. And they gave one to a podcast that we'll link to called When We All Get to Heaven, about the history of the MCC Church in San Francisco.
Yes.
Jim Matulski was the leader back then, a gay-positive church, gay church in San Francisco, and how they dealt with it. One for the best documentary went to Pee Wee as himself. And in the entertainment category, they honored...
Heated Rivalry.
You're a fan.
I'm a big fan. So I'm so happy.
Okay. I saw... we're down to our last seconds. I saw a couple of plays I could recommend. Schmigadoon was the one I had the most fun with. But we're out of time. I will link to my reviews about the Ballisters and Fallen Angels. Thanks.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
Good to be here.